is the Waymaker, right? We are here this morning to worship and to worship through the preaching, teaching God's Word. So I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and begin to make your way over to Genesis chapter 35. And as you're turning there, I just want to throw out that word again, worship. Right? I pray, my prayer is that that would be a word that you hopefully hear talked about a lot, often, here at Bethel. Right? You hear me or Pastor Austin often say that we're going to worship through song, and he talked about that last week. We're going to worship through giving. We're going to worship through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And so as I thought about this morning's message, some of you have been worshiping the Lord longer than I've been alive, right? And I think as I stand before you this morning that I could learn something from you. We might could teach each other a thing or two. But regardless of where we are on our journey with Christ, we must ask ourselves one question. Is my worship acceptable? Is my worship acceptable? You know, from there, we have to ask, are we worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? Where do we find that? Remember, in John's gospel, we see this, Jesus is talking. He says, but an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, I ended there, but this morning as I was reviewing my notes, I said, wait a second. Well, yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. I ended at verse 23, but look at what verse 24 says. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So is our worship acceptable? Are we worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? Theories. I don't know about you guys, but just kind of give you a little insight. Sometimes we wrestle. Right, I wrestle with where we're going. We knew kind of what was happening. We were kind of lining. We know kind of where we're going probably the remainder of the year. But like in January, I was just really not settled. And so just not real sure what we were going to preach and teach a couple of Sundays this month. And so then we talked about worship. And I've heard nothing but great things. Right, why? Because Austin preached out of the overflow of his heart. He leads us through worship in song. And so the Lord has been making and molding him. He's gone to conferences that are solely dedicated to worship pastors and worship the creative arts when it comes to worship. And so I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in Pastor Austin's heart and what he shared with you last week. So I've been doing a lot of thinking, a lot of praying about worship as well. And I think back, for me, when I think about worship, I think back 10 years ago. 10 years ago, in one of my seminary classes, we started a class on worship, a whole semester just on worship. And what was fascinating was that I can tell you this morning, I don't think we got through most of the textbook. The textbook they had us together with my brother that. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because we had various denominations. We had men, women, black, white, pastors, lay leaders, and we came together, and our focus was to talk about worship. You hear me say later that what we're familiar with, we cease to see. And I think that's so true when it comes to worship. That was one of the most transformational classes that I've ever taken. Why? Why? Because we allowed the Spirit of God to lead us, and here's a key word, which I think we need to see more in the church, we allowed him to disrupt what we had planned, what my professor had planned. So fast forward a few years to April 2022, I had the privilege of worshiping with several thousand people, probably 8,000 or 9,000 people at least, in Louisville, Kentucky, at Together for the Gospel. And three things stand out about that trip. One, it was the road trip with Pastor Austin, right? So I could tell you some stories. We ate well. We laughed. We had a great time. You know, he was stuck in the car with me all the way to Louisville, Kentucky and back. So, I mean, he survived. I survived. One was the worship. Y'all, in that moment, as we were there for Together for the Gospel, there were times where I couldn't even sing. Being with 8,000-9,000 people singing and worshiping and praising the Lord, all I could do was take out my phone and try to capture it. So much so that I have a track now that I listen to, and I find it so appropriate that I'll start in my driveway, and guess what? From my driveway to the church, that's about how long that track is. And it's those songs that we sang together, those hymns, old and new. It was a beautiful time. But listen, the third thing is this photo. I want you to see this photo. This is one of the standout moments from our time in Louisville. As Michelle, our church's administrative assistant, she said recently, she attended a conference last year, and she made this comment that stuck with me. Our children will model our worship. Our children will model our worship. Go back to that photo one more time. That child is learning how to worship the Lord from his father. And so I want to ask you this morning, where are your kids this morning? Where are your grandkids? Are they still worshiping and praising the Lord? Are they still following the Lord? You know, just this week in the Learning Center, I was getting ready for this message about worship, and Miss Nikki, she talked about how she was teaching about Paul and Silas. Remember when they got locked up there in jail? What did they do? They didn't moan and groan, but they began to what? They began to worship. They began to praise the Lord. And this little guy in her class, in Miss Nikki's class, pipes up. He says, "My dad sings worship songs." He says, "God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy." Well, God is good, right? But friends, the example this morning is this, that more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. Are we showing our children, are we showing our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, how to truly honor and truly worship the Lord? And so our main point this morning is this. Worship is not solely what we sing, but how we live our lives honoring the Lord. Worshiping through song is a part of that. But are we living a life that is honoring to the Lord? If we're going to understand what acceptable worship looks like, we have to start by defining it. You hear me talk about this soon. I've got a few extra copies of the Student Bible Dictionary. I love that. It was written for students. And sometimes I want to say, okay, help me, God, to understand this. So first, let's look at what it means to worship. Worship as a verb is this. It means to adore, to obey, to reverence, and to focus positive attention on. That's what it means to worship. Now look at the noun version. Worship as a noun is any action, obedience, and appreciation for God. Yesterday, I met a man at a birthday party, and he began to praise the Lord for what he had done in his life. His young child, his toddler, had brain cancer, and he saw that child go through that brain cancer there in Boston, and he came back, and guess what? He wasn't actively engaged in his faith, but he was like, I want to be in church. I want my family to be in church. He was praising and pointing people to God. As we think this morning, too, we also need to remember that worship can be private or public. It can be private or public. I love what an old preacher said years ago. He said this. He said, why do we desire corporately and collectively? That's what we're doing this morning. This is corporate, a time of corporate worship. We are coming together. So why do we desire corporately and collectively want what we don't desire personally and privately? That first statement is pretty powerful, isn't it? We want to see God move in our church. We want to see, I've heard some of you pray. I've heard one of our precious senior saints pray, Lord, use this church on this corner as a beacon or lighthouse of hope. Praise God for that. But why do we desire corporately and collectively what we don't desire personally and privately? And so what that pastor made the comment is that worship begins in your prayer closet with the door shut. That the church, he went on to say that the church is only as strong as what happens at home. What would happen if some of us, as we've got these bands that we're wearing this year and reading through these two different reading plans that we're doing, what would happen if we got into God's word until it got into us and that we were seeking him? Praise God. I had another young man this week that I had the privilege to have a conversation with. And he said, hey, when you pray, do you ever feel like it just doesn't go anywhere? I was like, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what it means and how we're to pray. And he's like, man, when I hear some of you guys pray or a deacon pray, he was like, I'm just in awe. Like, I can't pray like that. Man, you got to start somewhere. Just pour out your heart. Pour what's on your heart and your mind. Pour that out to the Lord. Speaking of private and public worship, privately, what does Matthew 6:6 say? It says, but when you pray, go into your private room. Go into your prayer closet in secret. Will reward you. Public-wise, public worship. Hebrews 10:24-25, very familiar passage for many of you. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day approaching. I love this week. Actually, I've been preparing for this message for a few weeks, and I love what H.B. Charles said. I think he nailed it, and he said this. He said, God-pleasing worship is word-driven worship. Right? Open your Bibles. Read. Slow down. Take a psalm. Read a portion of a psalm. If something crosses your mind, it could be a person. It could be a situation. It could be something in your own heart and life. Pray that back to the Lord. We talked about that on Wednesdays. And so this morning, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that describes worship. Look with me in Genesis chapter 35, starting in verse 1. Genesis chapter 35, starting in verse 1. It's the return to Bethel. And God said to Jacob, get up, go to Bethel and settle there. And so Jacob said to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau, and so Jacob said to his family and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourself and change your clothes. We must get up and go to Bethel. I will build an altar there to the God who has answered me in my day of distress. He has been with me everywhere I have gone. And then they gave Jacob all of their foreign gods and their earrings, and Jacob hid them under the oak near Shechem. When they set out, a terror from God came over the cities around them that they did not pursue Jacob's son. So Jacob and all who were with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. And Jacob built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Deborah, the one who had nursed and raised Rebekah, died and was buried under the oak south of Bethel. So Jacob named it Alon Bakuth. God appeared to Jacob again after he returned from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob, and you will no longer be named Jacob, but your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God also said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation indeed, an assembly of nations will come from you, and the kings will descend from you. And I will give to you the land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, and I will give the land to your future descendants. Then God withdrew from him at the place where he had spoken to him. Verse 14, Jacob set up a marker at the place where he had spoken to him, a stone marker. He poured a drink offering on it and anointed it with oil. Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you this morning for a picture of what worship in our lives should look like. Father, I pray now that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord. What we are familiar with, we cease to see, and I pray, Lord, that this day, that your Spirit would impart wisdom, that your Spirit would open eyes and hearts to help people to see and to worship you in spirit and truth. To worship you maybe like they did years ago when you were fresh and there was a fresh wind and a fresh fire in their hearts. Father, rekindle that fire this morning. Have your way. Accomplish as your word says. Your word does not return to you void. And so, Father, I stand on that promise, Lord, that it goes forth to accomplish your will. Father, your will be done this morning on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to just go back. I know that was a long drink of water for us to look at this morning in Genesis chapter 35, but I want us to key in on one verse. I want us to key in on verse 2. And so Jacob said to his family and all who were with him, "Get rid of your foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes." Friends, if we are to truly worship God as he intends us to, we must pause and prepare our hearts and minds. There's got to be a time that we pause and we prepare. Well, I want you to see three things that Jacob gives us here, that the word of the Lord gives us here in verse 2. First off, we're to get rid of foreign. Think back in Scripture, in the Ten Commandments. God does not tolerate idols. Do you remember Exodus 20, verse 3? "Do not have other gods besides me." Friends, we must recognize that all other gods, little g, all other gods are crude human attempts and counterfeits of the one true God. I appreciate what my disciple study Bible said this week. It said, for Jacob, getting their foreign gods out of their house was one thing. Getting them out of their minds and their hearts of the Israelites was quite another. What are some false gods of our day? Sensualism. How it makes me feel. Does it make me feel good? What about this one? Money. Money. Money's not evil. Scripture tells us what is the love of money that is evil. Power. Power. So many churches, so many relationships are divided over a struggle for power. Pleasure. Man, you don't have to look far to realize that in the world, in 2024, you don't have to go out very far from this church to realize that people are focused on the little g god of pleasure. What brings me pleasure? I'm going to do this because it brings me pleasure. What we notice, and what I want to remind you this morning, is most oftentimes, as we think about sin, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you there longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you could ever imagine that you would have to pay. Right? As we see ads for beer and cigarettes and those kind of things, especially a beer ad, they never show you. They show what? That you're going to be the life of the party. You're going to have all the friends, but never do they ever show you what happens afterwards. They don't show you the ugliness. They don't show you the broken marriages and broken homes and just the horribleness that comes with that. So money, power, pleasure, drugs, sports, sex, appearance, these are all false gods of our day. And friends, I want to encourage you that we must put those things away. We must turn aside and turn our eyes upon Jesus. So not only are we to get rid of foreign gods, what does Jacob tell us? He says this. He says that we're to purify ourselves. We're to purify ourselves. Now, one thing that's, you know, anytime you get to study in the Bible, you can take a particular passage and some scholars will say, well, we're not really sure exactly what this means. And so the meaning of these acts are unclear, but they are rooted in Scripture. Look with me in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 tells us, "Do not come closer," he said. "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you were standing is holy ground." Are we approaching the Lord with reverence? Are we approaching him with honor? Are we approaching him with holiness and seeing him as holy. But then also, what do we see in Exodus 19? We must prepare for an encounter with God and tomorrow. They must wash their clothes and be prepared by the third day. On the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So we are to purify ourselves. We're to prepare ourselves. And so that leads me to this question. Are you prepared to meet God? As I was studying this week, my quiet time, Jesus asked one of the most beautiful questions in all of Scripture that each and every one of us must answer. He's talking to the disciples, and they're having a conversation, and he says, well, who does the world say that I am? But then he asks us one question that every one of us must answer before we draw our last breath, and Jesus says this. Talking to the disciples, but he's talking to us. Why? Because he says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because, friends, heaven and hell hang on the balance of how we answer that question. Who do you say that I am? Are we prepared to meet God? Not just on a Sunday morning, but in eternity. Are we prepared to meet God? As we're thinking about preparation and meeting God and what does it mean to worship, we asked this question and we shared this question with some bullet points. I want to share that with you this morning. We asked this question on social media this week. Do you want to change your worship experience at church? Hopefully you'd say yes. So I want to encourage you. I'm going to read through this list. If there's one that stands out to you, I encourage you, take a next step and try it. Just try it. I'm not asking you to do every one of these, but just one that stands out to you, try it and see what God does. If you want to change your worship experience at church, do these things. Pray before you get there. Ask God to speak to you. Bring your Bible. Listen to worship music on the way. That's one of the things we do on Facebook each week is we share the songs that we're going to be singing. Why? So that people can begin to listen to those and hear those and worship over the weekend and be ready to worship when they come. How about this one? Arrive a few minutes early. Arrive a few minutes early. Pray, expecting God to move. Sing loudly and focus on God. Take notes. Receive and respond as the Spirit leads you. And then last, as you know, you hear me talk about this often, share one thing you learned with someone next week. Right? If you heard a nugget of wisdom, if you heard a verse of Scripture, underline it in your Bible, share it with someone else. As I think this morning about us purifying ourselves, we are to remove any known sin from our midst. Think back about what we learn in 1 John 1:8-9. It says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not only are we to get rid of foreign gods, not only are we to purify ourselves if we're going to truly worship, look at what Jacob tells us next. He said what? He said, change your clothes. Well, what's interesting here about what Jacob says is this symbolizes reorienting our lives. I think about a judge, and we have one we affectionately call that. We call him Judge. Judge Hudson. You think about when he was a judge, when he put on his robe, he's not just an ordinary man, he's a man with authority. Think back in Scripture, think back and he talks about putting on. There are things that we must lay aside, there are things that we must take off, but then Paul encourages us, as he wrote the majority of the New Testament, he talks about putting on. What are you putting on tomorrow? Not just your vest, not just your pants, but what are you putting on? Look with me in Colossians chapter 3. Look at what Paul says. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I could stop right there and have to say, okay, God, I need to work on several of those. What about you? Is there one of those things that when you wake up tomorrow that maybe you need to focus? You say, okay, God, today I want to do and I want to act in a way that is kind. I want to be a little bit more gentle with those around me. Maybe you begin to pray that wisdom of James and ask the Lord, when I feel it welling up inside of me and I want to respond in a way that's not loving, not kind, not gentle, not patient, Lord, help me to center on you, to focus on you, and to remember how you have treated me. Paul goes on to say, bearing with one another, forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule in your hearts. Be thankful. Verse 16. And let the word of Christ get into the word, until the word gets into you. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Guys, if we're to live a life of worship, it's not just what we sing, it's how we live our lives. Are we worshiping the Lord in how, in what we say, in what we do? You heard me say this morning this: what we're familiar with, we cease to see. Years ago, I spent multiple days, anywhere from 4 to 5 days a week, driving to Turbyville. I was in seminary extension over there. I was the high school youth pastor for almost 2 years, and so I spent a lot of time on 378 and Boots Branch Road, Red Bay, cutting back through there to go home. Spent a lot of time. And what was fascinating was, as I thought about this, as I thought about worship, and what we're familiar with, we cease to see. You know what? One day I'm driving along, going to school, and just the sun was setting in just the right way, and it kind of lit up this house on the side of the road. And I was like, I've come this way how many times? I've never noticed that house before. What we're familiar with, we cease to see. As we worship the Lord, are we worshiping not just in these four walls at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, but how are we worshiping when we leave here? Even yesterday, as we left the church and we went back, Kendall goes a different way. I come up Pinewood and make a swing and go back 15. I make a big circle when I go to Bethel. I said, why are you going this way? She's like, the way I go. I'm like, okay, fine. And lo and behold, we're going back to go to Scooters. And again, I've been thinking about this all week. And lo and behold, the sun hit a certain way. And there's a house, an abandoned old house, back right as you get towards the branch on Pinewood Road, going back towards Kingsbury, there's a house. I'm like, I never noticed that house before. How many times do I drive down this road? So make a correlation to that. How many times do you come to church? How many times do you open your Bible? Is this the same old thing, what you're not seeing? Ask the Lord to help you to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to share this. In verse 3 of Genesis 35, Jacob says, we must go up. We must get up and go to Bethel, and I will build an altar there. Listen to what he says about the Lord. To the God who answered me in my day of distress, he has been with me everywhere I have gone. Friends, are we calling out to the Lord? Are we seeking him as we live our lives? Jacob reminds us that he answered him. The psalmist says that he bent down the heavens and came down. Why? Because he delights in us. He desires for us to worship him. See, friends, if we can get the who right, then we'll get the how right. Who are you worshiping? And lastly, I think about this. I read this statement, and I close with this thought. As we think about worship, what does it mean to worship? worship is when we express through obedience. We express worship through obedience. When our motives are godly and our actions are right, and we treat God the Father and the people the way Jesus did. Matthew chapter 25 is there, the least of these. As you did unto the least of these, you did unto me. So friends, not only is God pleased when our worship is solely focused on the one who made us, but it will also affect how we treat those around us. Worship, again, is not solely what we sing, but it's how we live our lives honoring the Lord. So I want to encourage you this week, man, worship the Lord through more than song. We worship the Lord through giving. We worship the Lord through hearing the preaching and teaching of his word. But listen, how are you going to love your neighbor this week? How are you going to love those around you this week? Are you going to worship and honor the Lord in what you say and what you do? Let's pray. Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you for centering our hearts on worship. Lord, reminding us of who you are, of your love. Lord, that you desire that we worship you, that we worship you in spirit and truth. And so, Father, I pray that there's one thing, there's one verse, there was something that said that your spirit pricked a heart, and there's someone here this morning that had that experience like I did riding down the road and was like, wow, I've never seen that before. Father, help us to see you, to experience you, to know you in ways that we haven't known you before. Father, help us to love God and to love others. Help us to love you and to love others that you place in our path. And Father, help us to remember that worship is not just what we sing, it's what we do. It's living a life that honors and glorifies you, that points people to Christ and the hope that we have. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Father, we thank you that we can gather once again to be encouraged, to be spurred on, to be reminded that you are with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.